Take your Bibles, please, and turn to James chapter 1. I call this teaching, Lead with Your Ears, Not Your Tongue. James is Jesus Christ's brother. We'll see that as we go to some of the scriptures. And so we're going to consider specifically this, what this verse says, but it's pretty amazing what is handled in these five chapters of the book of James. But let's start in James chapter 1, verse 19. We read, Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So there's some great admonition. That's why I said lead with your ears. Actually, the Message Bible, which is another version, says that specifically. In the Message Bible, it says, post this at all the intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. I like how that's been put. It's just, we just continue to listen. You know, one time heard, we got two ears and one mouth. That means we're to hear twice as much as we are to speak. It's just such a great thing of courtesy. So often in our day and time, it can be real simple for people to talk over one another. And it's just, it's a learned habit. It's really discourteous, inconsiderate, but we see it happen all the time. You know, there's a sports program called Pardon the Interruption. It's all about just this whole thing of talking over one another. So, but we want to be more considerate. We want to give an opportunity for, in a conversation, to hear what someone has to say before we're quick to speak. Turn to Galatians, please. Galatians chapter 1. So James, that wrote this book of James, was the Lord's brother. And it says that specifically here. Galatians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul is recounting how he has been brought up in the word. And here he says in verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. So Paul, when he had originally been with the Sanhedrin and was quite an adversary of the Christian household, he was witnessed to by Jesus Christ himself on the way when he was traveling to Damascus from Jerusalem. You can read that record in Acts chapter 9. And then he realized within that short time that he had been persecuting Christians and those that follow Jesus Christ when Jesus indeed was the promised one that had been looked for since the time of Adam and Eve. And so he had to turn his whole thinking around. And he spent quite a bit of time back in his home country of Arabia in Tarsus, the city of Tarsus. But he had come down to see Peter. And it says just a couple of weeks, 15 days. And he went and saw James, the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Mark chapter 6, please. We know that Jesus was born of Mary. His stepfather was Joseph, and these were not the only child that they had. After Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph had other children. And here in Mark 6, it talks about this in chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, speaking of Jesus Christ, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. So here he's in his hometown, and he had lived there for a better part of 30 years. There was a time when he was first born that he was in Bethlehem, and then there was a short time that, with God's direction, Joseph and Mary fled Bethlehem and went to Egypt, which saved Jesus' life. But then they came back to Nazareth and grew up there, and Joseph was a carpenter, so it made very common sense that Jesus would also learn that trade. The fathers were instructed to teach their sons a trade so they could become proficient and make a living for their families. And so in Nazareth, they just saw Jesus as the carpenter. His ministry did not open up till he was about 30 years old. And so here's a listing of at least five brothers and sisters that he had: James and Joseph and Judah and Simon. There's four, and then sisters, that's plural, that's five, six. So this is a fairly good-sized family. And yet, they were not well-respected. But the point is that James was Jesus' brother. Now look at 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Here, the Apostle Paul is writing 1 Corinthians. He had traveled to this area. We can read in Acts 16, 17, 18, that he was up in Macedonia and Philippi and Thessalonica, came down to Athens, and then came to Corinth and spent a year and a half in Corinth. And then he went over to Ephesus, ultimately, and wrote the book of Corinthians from Ephesus. And here he writes in 1 Corinthians 15, 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you." See, he had been with them, and he's writing back to them to remind them of what he had taught them. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas," that's another name for Peter, "then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles." Just want you to picture this. Imagine the relationship that Jesus had with his brother James for nearly 30 years. James was his younger brother, but he was born shortly after Jesus. For nearly 30 years, they got to grow up together and build, you can imagine, these very strong bonds. Can you picture Jesus sitting with his brother at times and teaching him records from the Old Testament? It says when Jesus was 12, his family took a trip to Jerusalem from Nazareth for one of the feasts, and Jesus stayed behind. He wanted to learn more from the scribes and the Pharisees, and his family didn't realize until they were well on their way home. They'd traveled more than a day, and then they realized Jesus wasn't with them. You know, the children would typically be traveling in the caravan by themselves and along with the rest of the group, and probably came time at night to count heads and put everybody to bed, and Jesus wasn't there. And so they go back, and they find him after 3 days. They find him in the temple. So he was, even at 12, he had an amazing mind, and he tells his mother, "Don't you know I must be about my father's business?" His father was God Almighty. And so just consider the records from the Bible that James would have been taught from his older brother, would have had this amazing relationship that was built. And here in his resurrected body, it's noting here that Jesus came and appeared to Cephas, Peter. The last time he had seen Peter, Peter was denying that he even knew him. And then when the rooster crowed, Jesus and Peter met eyes. Jesus was in the building where they were torturing him, and Peter was just outside. And Jesus had told Peter, "You're going to deny that you know me before the cock crows this morning," over and over again. It says Peter wept bitterly. And that was the last time he saw his Lord. Can you imagine how down he would have been, how ashamed he would have been? And yet Jesus Christ, in his resurrected body, came and found Peter. And it says he appeared to Cephas. Then of the 12, we can read some of the resurrection appearances in the ends of the gospel. And we see that he appeared to the 12. At one point he came and Thomas wasn't there. There was only 11 of them. And then it says he was, at one point, appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time. And then after that, in verse 7, it says, after that, he was seen of James. Jesus went and found James. Just consider that reunion. His brother, James's brother, who was also his Lord, our Lord, had been so brutally murdered, and Jesus comes and talks to him. They had an amazing relationship. Look at Acts chapter 12. There would have been great respect for this relationship. I mean, wouldn't you have loved to have an opportunity to spend time with James and Mary, Jesus' mother, to find out about, you know, how was it growing up with Jesus Christ? It must have been an amazing adventure to be a part of that family. And they had the apostles, the believers of that time, the disciples, had great respect for James. In Acts chapter 12, here we read in verse 1, "Now about that time," now this is apparently somewhere in proximity of when the book of James was written. This is around 41, 42 AD. They say James may have been written as late as 45, but the mystery hadn't really been broadly taught that the Gentiles were also part of this. But here it says in verse 1 of Acts 12, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." That's not James, the Lord's brother. There was fishermen that Jesus Christ first witnessed to, Peter and Andrew, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And so this is the James, the son of Zebedee, that has been killed. Verse 3, "And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, Herod proceeded further to take Peter also. And then were the days of unleavened bread, Passover. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him." That's like a real strong guard. These soldiers, you got four quaternions that are watching Peter day and night, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Verse 5, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." You can imagine they would have been very concerned. James has just been killed by Herod. Herod's, I believe it was his father, that had been the one that had John the Baptist beheaded. So now this Herod has taken James and had him killed. And Peter's on the chopping block next. And so they're praying. And they've gathered together in this home of, really, it's the home of Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, the home of Mark's mother. He was called John Mark. And so they're all there praying. And watch what happens here. It says, verse 6, "And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison." So pretty high security. "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side." This angel wakes Peter up. "And he raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." So his angel is leading him past all these soldiers out of the prison. "And he went out and followed him and wist," that's the old English word for knew, "and knew not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought it was a vision." He thought he was dreaming. what's going on here? When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. This angel, it's amazing the authority that they have. This gate just opened up to them. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know assuredly that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all of the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. So this is the man that wrote the Gospel of Mark. They're at his mother's house, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. I love that it tells us her name. So they're all praying, and there's a knock at the door late at night, and Rhoda comes to the door. And when she knew Peter's voice, she recognized him, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. You know, she's so excited. Peter's here. And she, I got to tell everybody, but she doesn't let him in. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. So look at the respect they had for James. This obviously isn't James, the son of Zebedee, because he was killed. This is James, the Lord's brother, who has taken on the role of overseeing the group, the Christians there in Jerusalem. And they have such respect. Peter says, go let James know that I'm out. Just to consider some of the things that would have been taught to James by his older brother. It's amazing. We see in this book of James some things like we're not to be double-minded. That when we're tempted, it's never God that's tempting us. That we, like we read in the opening verse here, that we're to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That it goes on in chapter 3 that we're to control our tongue. Our tongue can get us into a world of trouble if we don't control our tongue, what we say. Listen first. We're to receive the word with meekness. We're to be coachable. Imagine James, how he would have been so coachable as Jesus Christ unfolded the scriptures to him. You know, on the road to Emmaus, Jesus Christ appeared in his resurrected body to two men that were sad and despondent because Jesus had been killed. And Jesus proceeded to share the word with them before he even disclosed who he was. And it was the word that ministered to their hearts and built them up. So we have to be meek to the word, coachable. We compare in James in chapter 3, worldly wisdom to the wisdom from above, the wisdom from God, and see what a contrast there is. I mean, there's so many things. In chapter 5, there's a great teaching about prayer, and it uses Elisha and how he prayed for over 3 years, and he was patient, and God answered his prayer. That's in a record from 1 Kings chapter 17 that just imagine Jesus Christ teaching that record to his brother James. And Jesus Christ himself, in so many instances, we see how he was listening to people. He listened with not just his ears, but he listened with his eyes and his whole mind. He listened with his heart. Consider for a second the Gospel of John chapter 8. Gospel of John chapter 8. In this record, there's a woman that has been brought before Jesus. They interrupt him as he's teaching because they say they found this woman, caught her in adultery. And the law says we're supposed to stone her. And they think they've trapped Jesus, what he's going to do. It says in John chapter 8, verse 2, And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commands us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. They didn't care about this woman. They were just always trying to trap Jesus Christ. And then said, but Jesus stooped down. I'm in the middle of verse 6. Stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. See, so here he's presented with this, and he's listening to these accusations. But you know who else he's listening to? He's listening to God. And he just stoops down and is writing on the ground. We have no idea what he was teaching when these men interrupted, but he's going to God. Okay, Father, how do I handle this one? Verse 7, so when they continued asking him, so they're just blabbing on and on with these accusations, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. But see, when he would get in this situation, he would put his whole heart, soul, and mind into that situation. You know, another example, I'm going to show you one more. But then I'm going to challenge you to perhaps look in the Gospels, maybe this next week, and see if you can recognize some places where Jesus Christ was listening to what someone was saying before he spoke. Here, go to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, again, Jesus Christ is ministering as he was often doing, and he's going to get word from a centurion, someone that's not a Jew, someone that works for Rome, that has heard about Jesus Christ. It says in verse 1 of Luke chapter 7, Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Well, first of all, this centurion has amazing confidence and respect for Jesus Christ and great love for his servant. It's not part of his family. It's a servant. And yet he cares about this man to the degree that he's going to reach out to Jesus Christ to see if Jesus Christ can come and help him. Verse 4, and when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loved our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. So Jesus is listening. These men come and say, this centurion's a great guy. He's even built us a synagogue. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. That's the reason the centurion didn't come himself. He didn't feel like he was worthy to come face to face with Jesus Christ. He goes on here in verse 7. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. That's the confidence. You just speak the word, Jesus, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This centurion is a Roman, and Jesus is astounded at this man's faith. He says, just speak, and it's all we need to do here. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. It's just amazing. But see how Jesus listened, and he just was able to take care of situations time and time again. There's a time when a woman comes to him, and she's not a Jew, and she's asking for his help, and he says he came to Israel, and she says, well, even the dogs get the crumbs off the table. And again, he's amazed, and he grants this woman her request. See, he listened, and James would have learned that great example of his brother to listen more than you speak. And that's what we can learn. There's so much to be learned from the book of James, as there is from the whole Bible, of course. But I like this verse 19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath or to get angry. It's a great way to live life.